Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, Diti vows to kill King Indra, Text 46. The lights can stay on now. After class, I'll give a little slideshow about my recent trip to India. Diti vacha. Dariyashye Vratam Brahmam Bruhi Karyani Yani Me Yani Cheha Nishadani Na Vratam Gnanti Yani Utam Dityurvacha Darayashye Vratam Brahman Bruhi Karyam Yani Me Yani Cheha Nishidani Navratam Gnanti Yanyuta Dityu vacha Dariyashye Vratam Brahman Bruhi Karyani Yani Me Yani Cheha Nishidani Navratam Gnanti Yanyuta Dityurvacha Darayashye Vratam Brahman Bruhi Karyani Yani Me Yani Cheha Nishidani Navratam Gnanti Yanyuta Dariyashye Vratam Brahman Vikaryani Yani Me Vaishnavis. Vaishnavis. Sri Karmani Anime. Chaitanya Siddhani. Nakanate Nanyan Yuta. Ditti Uvacha. Ditti said. Dharayashye. I shall accept. Vratam, vow. Brahman, my dear Brahmana. Bruhi, please state. Karyani, must be done. Yani, what? Me, to me. Yani, what? Cha, and. Iha, here. Nishadani is forbidden. Na, nut. Vratam, the vow. Gnanti, break. Yani, what? Uta, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Diti replied, my dear Brahmana, I must accept your advice and follow the vow. Now let me understand what I have to do, what is forbidden, and what will not break the vow. Please clearly state all this to me. Please repeat. Diti replied, my dear Brahmana, I must accept your advice and follow the vow. Now let me understand what I have to do, what is forbidden, and what will not break the vow. Please clearly state all this to me. Purport. As stated above, a woman is generally inclined to serve her own purposes. Kashyapa Muni proposed to train Diti to fulfill her desires within 1 year, and since she was eager to kill Indra, she immediately agreed, saying, please let me know what the vow is and how I have to follow it. I promise that I shall do the needful and not break the vow. This is another side of a woman's psychology. Even though a woman is very fond of fulfilling her own plans, when someone instructs her, especially her husband, she innocently follows, and thus she can be trained for better purposes. By nature, a woman wants to be a follower of a man. Therefore, if the man is good and the woman can be trained for, then the woman can be trained for a good purpose. Omigyana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu and militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the psychology of any person is generally a little complex. I mean, just a few verses ago, we were hearing how in some cases women can be ready to kill their husbands or protectors. And here we're hearing that some women, they're actually eager to follow the instruction of their husbands. So it's a little complicated. And the reason it's complicated is, you know, just the nature of a conditioned soul. Whether in man's body or woman's body, there are conflicting interests that a person may have. And, you know, we're here in Hollywood, so movies are a big part of life in Los Angeles and Hollywood. And, you know, script writers say that If you want to have a successful film, your characters have to have conflicts in them. Nobody should be either all good or all bad. It's not very interesting. You know, they find the characters become cardboard-like. So the good scriptwriters say, well, your hero or heroine should have, even the good guy or the good girl should have a flaw, you know, something that they need to overcome in the course of the film, and that's what makes it interesting. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see, if we look at all of the characters and their psychology and their motives, we see it can be very complex. And the reason for that is that the situation of souls in this world is quite complex. You know, why are we here? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samuham Sarge Yante Parantapa. Ichcha dvesha, because of selfish desire and envy, ultimately of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities, all jivas, are covered by illusion and they enter into the material creation. Krishna bahir mukahana bhogavanchakare nikatashta mayatare japati atare. Krishna Bahirmukha, the soul turns from Krishna, turns face from Krishna. Why? Bhogavanchakare, because of selfish desire for sense gratification. And then what happens? The soul becomes captured by Maya. It undergoes different difficulties in the course of trying to enjoy oneself separately from Krishna. So this is called kama. Atmendriya priti, kama. So if one is trying to selfishly please one's own senses, that is called kama, or lusty desire. But Krishnendriya priti, if one is trying to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that is called prema, or that is called love, real love. Most of what goes under the name of love in the material world is a variety of kama, or selfish desire for material sense pleasure, which can be gross or subtle. So that is the reason why souls, conditioned souls, are in this material world. But at the same time, jivara sarupahoi krishnera nityadas. By nature, the soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. And that cannot be changed. So that service attitude, it has to be employed somehow. So in material consciousness, it is mistakenly employed in serving one's own mind and senses and serving others with the hope that they will please one's mind and senses. Many years ago, Bob Dylan, who had some association with the Krishna consciousness movement in his early days, wrote a song, Everybody's Got to Serve Somebody. And that is the position. We have to serve somebody. We have to serve either ourselves, our mind, our senses, or we serve our nation, our family. We serve so many things with the hope of increasing our own selfish satisfaction. But the real purpose of the soul is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So that includes serving, you know, Krishna's devotees. So some people have completely forgotten that, but others are in a mixed state where they are beginning to understand that they have some higher purpose in life than material sense gratification, but they're still a little bit attached to it. So that is the position of those of us who are entering into the practice of bhakti yoga. So Krishna gives some facility for those conditioned souls who are identifying with their material minds and bodies, but are trying to make progress on the road back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna gives some facility even for sex life. It's possible for a devotee man, devotee woman to enter into the grihastha ashram and practice Krishna consciousness in that ashram. So an ideal situation is being described here in the purport, you know, where there is an ideal husband and an ideal wife. You know, they can, if they properly understand each other's psychology and enter into the right kind of devotional relationship, they can make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. But even here, you know, the psychology, you know, can be different. It's like in the spiritual world, there's Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends, and they're divided basically into two groups. They're divided into many types of groups according to their mentality of service to Krishna. But there's basically two groups, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna Das Kaviraj is quoting from Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani. There's the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis. So the right-wing gopis are always very submissive. Yes, I'll do whatever you like that. Very mild. And then the left-wing gopis are sometimes manifesting some opposition to Krishna. No, I'm not going to do that. they can become a little angry with Krishna in certain circumstances. Why is that? Because, you know, both of these mentalities please Krishna, but actually said that the mentality of the left-wing gopis is most pleasing to him, where they even become a little opposed to him sometimes. And Srimati Radharani is the leader of these left-wing gopis. They totally love Krishna, but their love for him sometimes manifests in opposition. So and among some of Krishna's queens in Dwarka, some of them manifested that mood. Satyabhama, Srila Prabhupada gives an example. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, there was one of his devotees, male devotees, Jagadananda Pandit, who was in the mood of Satyabhama, would sometimes criticize Lord Chaitanya, tell him not to do something, or if Lord Chaitanya said something he didn't like, he'd become angry. You know, once he was trying to offer Lord Chaitanya some very nice oil, scented floral oil for massage. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a sannyasi, I can't accept that. So he just smashed the bottle of oil and went to his room and just stayed there for days, and just manifesting kind of transcendental anger in his loving relationship with Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Satyabhama. So, and the psychologies of devotees, whether male or female, can be quite complex. And if as we go through Srimad Bhagavatam, we can learn a lot about the psychology of devotees in their relationships to each other and in their relationships to Krishna. So, stop here. Does anybody have any question or comment on this? Okay. So I was going, some devotees asked me to, they always ask me, you know, to give some kind of slideshow. So, about my recent trip to India, so I'll do that. So this will be in two parts. First I went to Delhi and then I went to South India. So in New Delhi, I was very much interested to visit some of the places where Srila Prabhupada was writing and printing his Srimad Bhagavatam in the early 1960s. And, you know, I have, by some good fortune, one of Srila Prabhupada's original Delhi Bhagavatams. I mean, now we have these beautiful Bhagavatams with the latest printing, you know, lots of color paintings inside. And actually, there's a huge arrangement. You know, we have dozens of devotees working in different divisions of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust all over the world, making use of the latest technology, translating and printing these books in dozens of languages, hundreds of millions of copies. There are hundreds of devotees, thousands of devotees distributing these books all over the world in profuse quantity. But in the beginning, there was just Srila Prabhupada in New Delhi, all by himself. And, you know, he was doing all these things alone. Now, the place where he was living, this is, you know, the address from the Bhagavatam. You know, he gave his address. He was sometimes staying in Vrindavan in Sevakunj, but when he was in Delhi printing the Bhagavatams, he was staying at the Sri Sri Radha Krishna Temple on Chippiwada Kalan in Delhi, which is in the old part of Delhi. So I decided I'd like to visit that place because that's where Srila Prabhupada was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam on his typewriter, click, 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 not on a, you know, Mac, the latest Mac. So this Chippiwada area is near the Jama Masjid, which is a mosque in the old part of Delhi. And this Chippiwada Kalan, this little lane, is not on any map. You know, so it's a little hard to find, you know, if you don't know where it is. And I initially didn't know where it was. So I found it in the neighborhood around there, you know, asking, you know, policemen and people like that, you know, where it might be. So this is the Chippiwada Kalan. It's a narrow lane with the houses very, very close together, very crowded. And in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, it says that the temple where Srila Prabhupada was staying was a Radha Krishna temple on Chippewada column, and above the temple door there was a little image of Ganesh. So, you know, I found a Sri Sri Radha Krishna temple with a little image of Ganesh over it, and I thought, okay, this must be the place. You know, so I went inside, and turned out it wasn't the place. But then right next door, there was another smaller temple, and it had the right street number on it, 2439, and also an image of Ganesh over the door. I found out that every temple has an image of Ganesh over the door, so it's not very helpful piece of information. But the street number was actually more helpful, 2439, you know, because that's, you know, the address that Srila Prabhupada actually gave in his Delhi Bhagavatam as his Delhi address. So it is still there, and there's Radha Krishna deities there, and Srila Prabhupada had darshan of those deities. To me, it's just fascinating to walk in these places where Srila Prabhupada was walking and living in the early 1960s before he came to the United States. And then if you look up, you know, like a lot of temples, it's a courtyard. There's this kind of a screen over the top. And you look up and you can see there's some apartments. And it's like if you're standing in the temple, you're looking up, you can look through that grating and see some apartments up there. And the middle apartment is where Srila Prabhupada was staying. I couldn't go in there because there's some family living there now. But in the Lilamrita, there's a picture of the inside of the room. And that little pyramid structure indicates that the deities are below and that you shouldn't walk exactly on that spot. So that's the room that Srila Prabhupada had. That's where he would sit and he would type out the manuscript to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from here, he would go and do his printing work. So in the book, it says that, you know, he printed it at the New OK Press on Churiwalan. It's another little lane in the old part of Delhi. And there was a man there named Kanshi Ram, who was the owner of the New OK Press. So I went to look for the Churiwalan Street, and Srila Prabhupada at that press, you know, he was personally supervising the printing, personally doing everything with the owner of the New OK Press. This is a painting, you know, from the Prabhupada Lilamrita. So, you know, I very much wanted to visit this place. So I found, after some searching around, I found the Churiwalan Lane. And in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, it said that the New OK Press was across the street, across the lane from a small mosque. So I found the small mosque. It's it's on the left, you know, with those red, you know, markings. That's the building. So the New OK Press was across the street from there. And there's not a press there right now, but, you know, I found these old guys. And I kind of asked them, did you know about the New OK Press? And they said, yes, it was across the street from the mosque until about 10 or 15 years ago, you know, some years. And they said it was in the shop that was right under this metro sign. That's where it was. So this is where Srila Prabhupada was going to print his first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in Delhi in the early 1960s. And in the Leelamrita, there's a photograph. I mean, many years ago, a devotee photographer went there, and the shop was still there, and the original printing press was still there. So that's the printing press that Srila Prabhupada printed his Delhi Bhagavatams on. And he would also purchase personally the paper and have it sent to the printing shop. So this part of Old Delhi, it's called Chowri Bazaar. Chowri actually means thieves, so it used to be the old thieves market. But now there's all kinds of little paper shops there, paper vendors. So in the Leelamrita, it says that Prabhupada got the paper for his books from Siddhamal and Sons paper shop. So I was looking to see if I could find this Siddhamal and Sons paper shop. And I was kind of asking around, you know, the different shop owners. And this man, he told me, oh, it's right around the corner. So I went around the corner, and there it was, Siddhamal and Sons. They're no longer selling paper in that shop. It's some computer place now. But I went in, and I asked the people there, and they said, yes, back in the 1960s, they were selling paper out of this shop. Now they're doing something else with it. But so Srila Prabhupada would walk through these narrow lanes to this paper shop. He'd purchase big sheets of paper, and then it said he would get a man with a cart to pull it over to the printing shop. And you can still see this going on there today. People with rickshaws and hand carts, you know, pulling stacks of paper to printing shops and things like that. So Srila Prabhupada would personally arrange these things. And then the cover of the book he printed at another place, Radha Press, which I found and which is still functioning today. There was a man there named Hitsaran Sharma during Prabhupada's time who owned the shop. Now it's owned by his son, and his son told me he still has letters that Prabhupada sent to his father, Hitsaran Sharma. So to me, these are sacred places, you know, just like, you know, the places of Krishna's pastimes are sacred to devotees. So the places of Krishna's pure devotees' pastimes are also sacred to Krishna's devotees. So he printed his Delhi Bhagavatam, and then when they were printed, he had to sell them. And there wasn't anybody, there wasn't a whole army of book distributors. You know, like we have so many book distributors here in the room. But in the beginning, it was just Srila Prabhupada. So where did he go to sell his books? He went to different schools. He went to the education ministry. He also went to bookshops to put his books in bookstores. So one place he went was Munshi Ram Manohar Lal, which is still a big publishing book-selling company in Delhi today. But at that time, they had a little shop, just one little shop, in on Nai Sarak, which is a road in that Chowri Bazaar district. And this is the Nai Sarak Road. And there are just hundreds of little bookshops there. So I was going up and down the Nai Sarak Road looking for the place where this Munshi Ram Manohar Lal shop had been, where Prabhupada would personally place his books, and he would have long discussions with the owner, and the Leelamrita, those things are there. So I got to the place where I thought it was, and I asked this man where it was, and he said, actually, it was the next shop over to his, where the blue doors are. But it was closed about 2 years ago, that original shop. Of course, the company now has, you know, a big modern, you know, bookshop in Central Delhi. But in those days, Srila Prabhupada would go to that little place with his books, put his books there. And to me, it's just a really wonderful experience to visit these places and remember Srila Prabhupada, you know, doing all these things. So eventually, he had all three volumes of his first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam printed, and then he came to the United States. He took 200 sets of his books and brought them here on the Jaladuta, and that's how the Hare Krishna movement was started. So then after Delhi, you know, I went to a place called Salem in South India. Some devotees there invited me to give lectures at universities and colleges there. So Salem is in South India in Tamil Nadu. And you know, I gave maybe lectures at about 20 schools. I was only there for about a week or 10 days, but they had me talking two or three times a day at different schools. This is the Government College of Engineering, and usually there were hundreds of people at these lectures, you know, 500, 600, and they were very nicely organized. And, of course, people had lots of questions. They have a group called the ISKCON Youth Wing, which organizes these talks. They're disciples mostly of Bhaktivikash Swami. And then, you know, they had displays of my books and Srila Prabhupada's books, so, you know, books were sold. So that went on, as I said, dozens of lectures over the course of the time I was there. But the actual place itself, the Salem ISKCON Center, is a very interesting place. It's very simple. And of course, it's a very beautiful place. You know, Tamil Nadu is very nice. And, you know, they have these huts. I stayed in one of these huts. And they're all made naturally and deliberately. They don't have any electricity in any of the housing or the brahmachari ashram. So no computers, no nothing. They have one room. They have one room in an office in an out-of-the-way place on their campus where you can plug in your computer or your cell phone, you know, for an hour or something a day. But other than that, no electricity. And at night, you can have a candle, you know, and that's it. So it's a very simple life there. And this is the Brahmachari Ashram. Basically, it's a Brahmachari temple. And this is their Gauranitai deities, and that's how they light the temple. No chandeliers with electricity, just ghee lamps, you know, burning. So, and this is the kitchen with, you know, the little wood-burning stoves. And there they are firing up the stoves. And this is an interesting little object. It's a clay cooler. They don't have any refrigerators, no walk-in cooler, anything like that. But they can keep a few things cool. There's water circulates through this clay thing, and it evaporates, and it cools it down 20 or 30 degrees. So, interesting place. And they're building a temple there. And they're doing it with all natural methods. No fancy new materials. Just stone from local quarries. And this is eventually what it's going to look like. You know, that's what it looks like now. But they make their own bricks, you know, right there on the property. So they're doing this all natural. And these are the pillars. They're granite pillars. The granite is quarried in the nearby hills, and they have workmen, you know, chipping away. It was a holiday when I was there, kind of Pongal, something like that. Nobody was working the day I took these pictures, but you know, they have local stapatis, you know, people who've designed temples, you know, for the villages and things like that. So they're using all the traditional methods to make this temple. And this is kind of interesting. Supporting the dome, there are going to be four massive pillars, and they call them the four pillars of religion. Those are two of them, and there's another two a little further over. They're not standing yet. They're still working on them. But one pillar is called Satyam, truthfulness. Tapa, austerity. Daya, mercy. And Saucham, purity or cleanliness. So those are going to be the four pillars holding up the main dome, you know, that's going to go over the altar. So they call them the four pillars of religion, which somebody was talking about in class the other day. And then during free time, devotees took me to visit some temples in the local area. This is the Kodandaram temple at a place called Ayodhya Patanam. And it's interesting, although it's a Ram temple, there's a lot of Krishna art. So that's Krishna Kaliya. And then the temple ceiling has lots of beautiful old paintings. And this is a, you know, painting of Vishnu or Krishna delivering Gajendra. You know, over on the right-hand side, you can see there's a little elephant with a crocodile grabbing its leg. And then there's Gajendra surrendering to Vishnu. So I thought it was very interesting that although this is a Ram temple, Sita Ram temple, it's all Krishna, Vishnu artwork. And then there's another temple the devotees took me to. They have a preaching center right across the street. Actually, I took this picture from the devotee preaching center. It's called the Namgiri Nisringa temple at Namakkal. And actually, that whole big mountain is considered to be a Nisringa Shalagram Shila. And inside the temple, there's a self-manifest deity of Lord Nisringa. Not in the temple, but it's in the cave. You know, like there's a cave temple. What you see on the outside is just the outer structure. But the actual deity is inside that mountain in a cave in a self-manifest form, according to the Pujaris. And the story of it's kind of interesting. It's like, according to the temple history, Hanuman, you know, when he went to get the mountain, Gandhamadava Mountain, to take down to cure Lakshman, who had been injured and wounded, he got this Nisringa Shalagram Shila. And the story of how that came was that after, you know, we see the Nisringadev there. He was very angry, and the demigods were trying to pacify him. So they had Prahlad go and pray to him and pacify him. And then after that, according to this story, Nisringadev manifested into a Shalagram Shila. So somehow Hanuman got this, and he was taking it to South India, but he stopped at this place where Lakshmi was, this pond, and he gave it to Lakshmi, and she put it down, and then it wouldn't move and started growing. And it actually grew into that huge hill, according to the local temple history, with the form of Nisringadev inside it. So, and then if you go from the front of the temple, there's a long roadway. Oh, this is what the, you can't take a picture of the actual deity, but this is a painting of what the Nisringadev deity inside that hill looks like. If you go from the front of the temple, there's a long road that leads to a Hanuman temple. There's this massive deity of Hanuman there, and he's looking down the road, and it's actually set up so that he can see the lotus feet of the Nisringadev deity inside the cave. In other words, there's open spaces, you know, so that, you know, he's got a view of the lotus feet of Lord Nisringadev inside the cave temple. So, I mean, just to give you some idea, I mean, how big that deity is. I mean, it's just, there's the pujari getting So then after that, after the lectures I gave in Salem, I went back to Delhi and I visited some additional places there. There's one thing I want to see from a scientific point of view. In Delhi, there's this iron pillar. It's 2,000 or 3,000 years old. It's actually got an inscription on it dedicated to Vishnu, and people think it was originally a Garuda Stamba at some ancient temple. Yeah, but the Garuda's not on the top of it anymore. But it's made of iron, and it's been standing for 3,000 years, and it hasn't rusted a bit. So it's just amazing. It just stands there in the open air, rained for thousands of years, hundreds of years, and it hasn't rusted. So I want to see that. It's there. And then I went to the National Museum in Delhi, where they have a lot of Krishna art. Can anybody tell me what this is? Oh, okay, Shakatasura, you get the prize. It's Krishna, you know, like little baby Krishna kicking the cart demon. And then, who can tell me what this is? Kidnapping of Rukmini. Shri Rukmini Ji Ki Jai, Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. And that's it. Thank you very much.